If you John here to ClickFunnels, it's highly likely that you are one of the 1% crazies. Welcome home.
I just want to like take a moment and just acknowledge Steven Larson, or Steve Larson, whenever he goes by today. We always call him Steven in the office, just so you guys know, because every way he spelled it always changed. But it's crazy to look back, and a couple funnel hacking lives ago, he, you know, bootstrapped his way. I'm sure you guys have heard the story. To get there, he slept in the lobby. 2 days after that, was in my office asking for a job. And then fast forward now a couple of years, and was able to bring 650 people to Boise, Idaho on a week beginning during a holiday to talk about offers, for crying out loud. This is insane. You guys are all here. So give him a huge round of applause. It's like, I wouldn't have believed it. So cool. I got so many fun things to talk about today. So I don't have a normal presentation. Normally I have a million slides and everything like that. Today I want to do more story time. I want to tell you guys some stories, have some fun, show you some cool stuff from the book that's coming out, and a couple other cool things. And so that's kind of the game plan. Catherine Jones just messaged me a few minutes ago. I'm not sure where you're at here. I hear, hey. And she's like, if I came all the way to Boise, Idaho, and you're going to tell at least one potato gun story, I'm going to be severely upset. So I didn't have a potato gun story planned, but then I just thought of one a second ago. So how many of you guys want a potato gun story real quick? Yeah! All right. You want to go shoot potato guns after this? Yeah! That's the upsell. We're doing that tomorrow for anyone. No, just kidding. No, it's funny. We did a family event like a month ago in Denver. Who was at the family event with us? And we were trying to get all these potato gun kits shipped there to be able to show the kids and like actually do that. And it's funny because I haven't sold my potato gun DVD for a decade now. And we used to have this supplier that would drop ship the potato gun kits afterwards. And so like a week before the event, I was like, we should see if they still drop ship potato gun kits. We'll get them shipped to the event and it'll be amazing. And like this whole thing, so I'm getting Melanie to try to call them. They have no answer. They won't return their emails, but they still have an order button on their site. So we bought them like at wholesale prices and have shipped directly to the hotel in Denver. And Melanie told me yesterday, she's like, I just got the shipping notes. They finally shipped them. So there's a whole bunch of potato gun kits getting shipped to Denver right now. So if any of you guys are there, you can just pick them up there. So that's the potato gun story I got for you guys today. Maybe Funnel Hacking Live will do some more potato gun building or something, a whole extra late night session. Anyway, there you go. So when Stephen first asked me to speak here, the first thing he did is he tried to make an irresistible offer. Do you guys hear about this already?
Yeah.
So we went through the whole process and we talked about like, well, what should I talk about? And we kind of had a whole direction I wanted to go. And so I kind of started initially building my thoughts around that. But if anyone's been watching my Instagram, the last like month of my life, I've been deep trying to get this Traffic Secrets book done. And it's been a lot. And it's top of my mind and a whole bunch of just there. And so I'm going to kind of do both. I'm going to talk about stuff I was going to talk about, but also go into Traffic Secrets because there's parts I've never taught before that I just want to like share. Again, I've never taught them publicly, so they may come out really bad. It could be a complete flop, but I'm not getting paid, so it's cool. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so I'm going to start at the very beginning about what initially when you first asked me to speak that I really wanted to talk about, because I think it's applicable to everyone in your journey. And I'm curious right now, how many of you guys have been in this entrepreneur game, trying to make money on the internet, this whole world, for more than, let's say, 5 years? Okay. How many of you guys have been less than 5 years? Less than 4 years? Less than 3, 2, less than 1 year? How many of you guys, like, you found out about this a couple days ago, and you're pumped? This is awesome. Can you imagine this being their first introduction? And so I think sometimes we come into these rooms. I know when I first got in there, that's been 15, 16 years ago now, when I first learned about this world and I came into it. I remember going and hearing all these people talking about stuff and they're sharing numbers and stats. And I think I had this envision in my head that like I was going to come in and like 5 days later I was going to be a kajillionaire, and that was going to be how it worked because all these other people were doing it. And I think a lot of people have that belief as well. And sometimes they come in, they start working and doing the process, and if they don't get it right away, they fall away from it, which is frustrating and it's hard. And so I want to kind of just talk about my journey for a little bit, because every time I meet somebody, I always get people who are like, I've known you ever since the beginning. I'm like, oh, yeah, when was that? And they're like, yeah, back when you did the .com secrets book, ever since the very beginning. And I was like, there's 10 years that I was doing this before the .com secrets book came out. Or like, yeah, all the way back to microcontinuity. Who here remembers microcontinuity?
Yes!
I was like, yeah, I was 6 years in when that came out. So I've been doing this for a long, 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 long time. There's been a whole bunch of ups and downs. And one of the quotes that is in the new Traffic Seekers book. This is actually the .com Seekers book. We just taped the cover. Anyway. Oh, we totally did, yeah. I had someone grab it, like, I took pictures of it inside, and I was like, yeah, it's literally expert secrets, so, yeah, anyway. But in the Traffic Seekers book, as I was writing it and researching and just trying to figure out the right stuff, there was a quote, and actually from an entrepreneur who lives here in Boise. Anyone here ever heard of ConvertKit? Yeah. ConvertKit. So Nathan Berry is the founder of ConvertKit. He's the local Boisean as well. A really cool guy, someone I have a ton of respect for. And I was writing the chapter on publishing. I'm not going to talk a lot about publishing today, but he had this quote that I ended up putting in the book that just meant the world to me. And I think I wanted to kind of start this way as I start this presentation, because I want this to be the thing that's in your guys' mind as we're kind of going through this journey together. So it's part of an email he wrote, and the subject line was, "Endure long enough to get noticed." They said, "How many great TV shows have you discovered in season 3 or later?" So I started watching Game of Thrones after they'd released 5 seasons. Pat Flynn had released over at least 100 episodes of his podcast before I even knew it existed. I discovered Hardcore History years after Dan Carlin started producing it. This is such a common experience. There's so much content being produced that we can't possibly discover it all. So instead, we wait for the best content to float to the surface after time. If step 1 in building an audience is to create great content, then step 2 is to endure long enough to get noticed. Seth Godin is very generous with his time and will appear on almost any relevant podcast, but you have to have recorded at least 100 episodes first. His filter is creators who have shown they are willing to show up consistently for a long time. And so when I read that, I was just like, man, that is, it's crazy. And I was talking to my wife about this the other day, because it's still like, this whole thing is insanely weird to us. Because like, this started 15, 16 years ago when we first got married, and I'm sitting there and I'm like learning about all this nerdy marketing stuff and funnels, and we didn't even call them funnels back then, but I was learning about stuff and direct response marketing and reading books about headlines and hooks and like all this, these things. I was geeking out, and I would try to like talk to people about it. Like, I talked to my friends and my family and my parents and my brothers and everyone, like trying to explain it to them. And you're like, this for me was like the most exciting thing in the world. I'd explain it to them, I'd go through them, and they look at me like, oh, that sounds really nice. I mean, you guys have friends or family, when you guys start talking about stuff, they're just like, oh, you're like, do you not understand what I'm talking about? Like, oh, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, this guy did this and this person did this. I'm telling story after story after story of all these people, all the people that I saw on other stages telling their story. I tell their stories. And they're like, oh, that's really nice. I'm like, how are you nice not getting this? Like, how are you missing the energy behind this? Like, what am I doing wrong to convey this? And I would talk about it over and over and over again, and nobody seemed to care. But I cared. It was so exciting for me. And so after that, I started talking louder. And eventually, I had a couple kids. I was still going to Boise State down the road. And a couple kids in my classes, they started listening. And they're like, that's really cool. And I tell them about them. And they got excited. I tell other people. And so many people never heard me, right? I was speaking, but they never heard me. I kept speaking. And eventually, a couple people started hearing. And a couple more started hearing. But it was slow. And the first decade of me doing this, like, not the groups were not ever big. In fact, the last event I did before Funnel Hacking Live, which was probably about 10 years ago, so I'm probably 7 or 8 years in, I did an event, and we had, I think, 300 people-ish signed up for it, and I was super excited. We did it out in Salt Lake. We drove, me and our tiny team, we drove down there, we showed up, and less than 100 actually showed up after they bought tickets. And I'm in this room just like, God, like, how is this so hard? Like, this is the most exciting thing in the world to me, and I can't get people excited. But I kept talking because I was passionate about it. Okay, if I would have done this because I thought other people can get passionate about it, it would have withered up on the vine a long time ago. But I kept talking. And so it's so fascinating to me today that there's 650 people in Boise on a week beginning during a holiday talking about offers, for crying out loud. Like, this is insane. We're going to have 5,000 people at Funnel Hacking Live all talking about funnels and about all these crazy things that are so exciting that people are buying books. Like, when I wrote this first book, man, I can't tell you how scared I was. How many of you guys have ever written a book before? Okay. Anyone ever heard, you guys know Ryan Holiday? Yeah. He's one of my favorite authors right now. In fact, he is going to be speaking at Funnel Hacking Live. I'm so excited. So he's written some amazing books, but my favorite of all his books is a book called Perennial Seller, which is a whole book about, like, how do you create content that lasts beyond the moment, right? He talked about a whole bunch of examples of movies, like movies that last for forever, like Star Wars, right? Like, it's just going forever. And then you have other ones who make a ton of money and they die, right? And in the book, he talks about like Star Wars, like name some lines from Star Wars. Like everyone can list off some lines, right? Because the movie's a perennial seller. But he says, you know, the highest grossing movie at the time was Avatar. He said, can anyone think of a single sentence from Avatar? Can any of you guys give me a quote from Avatar? I see. I didn't even know that. I see. We got one person who remembers the line from Avatar. Highest grossing movie, but it died, right? Okay. Friends was the same way. Friends was an amazing show. When it ended. Seinfeld has like lived on. So what's the interesting work that lasts and a work that doesn't last? And he talks about that. And it's just an amazing book called Perennial Seller. And again, he's going to be talking at Funnel Hacking Live about how to create art that lasts beyond. It's not just a book, but art, movies, courses, whatever your thing is. Like, how do you create stuff that lasts beyond yourself, which is something I study because I'm in this like phase of my life where I'm obsessed with like the legacy of this whole thing. How do you do that? One thing talked about in the book is how interesting it is with creators, where when you create something, you go into private, right? Like when I've been writing these books or doing whatever, like I'm in private, my own, in my house, studying, learning, reading, geeking out. But then when you like make it public, it's like, it goes from being this like this private thing to this public thing. And like the fear of rejection is like the scariest thing in the world, right? And so like, I remember putting this out and being so scared that just like, oh, like I was so passionate, like my heart, my soul, like a decade of my life went into this and put it out there. I remember sending it to a couple of my friends and just having so much anxiety, like, oh, what if they read this and they hate it, they don't like it? Like, this is like so important to me. We put it out there and luckily they liked it. In fact, Rich Sheffrin, have you guys know Rich Sheffrin? He was when I was most scared to read it. That dude's read like every book on planet Earth like 400 times. In fact, there's a video of him on YouTube that's worth watching. He shows his book writing process. He buys a book, he rips the binding off of it. First up, he reads it all, highlights it. Then he cuts the binding off of it. He scans the whole thing. He sends the scan to one of his Filipino workers. He then takes all the highlighted sections and writes them into like a PDF. And then he's done that for like, I don't know, 7,000 books over time. And then every morning he wakes up, he's like, what am I going to study today? He's like, copywriting. He's like, these are the 30 best copywriting books of all time. Plugs in his highlights into an iPad. And he jumps on the treadmill and he'll read 30 books in the morning on whatever topic is he wants to like do that day. A dude's obsessed with like it's, and he has a whole video showing the process. It's the coolest thing in the world. I remember sending him the book and I'm just like, oh, if Rich hates it, like I am done. I'm walking away from this whole thing. And I remember afterwards he called me and was like, dude, your book? I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's really good. I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, that feeling. And so I'm sure a lot of you guys have ever felt that, or you're going to feel it because it's scary, right? Especially if you're here, you're fired up, you're excited about the next thing, the offer, you're going to create all this stuff. But as you get in the creation mode, start putting it out there, like there's always going to be that fear of like, oh, I'm going to give it to the world. And what if they reject it? Okay. And so that's going to be happening. But I want to kind of step back in my journey and I want to talk about just all the stuff that I tried. In fact, I printed this out before I showed up here. Who here in this room thinks they made the most funnels? They're not like click create funnel and like demo funnel and then create, you know, like give an 8,000 year count. Okay. Who here's built more than 10 funnels? Like built, launched, live, like were pushed out into the world, traffic was sent to them. Who here's built more than 20 funnels? More than 30 funnels? 40? 50? 60, 70, anyone more than 70? All right. Okay. I was able to find 131. Not just funnels that like I played with a little bit, that we built pre-click funnels in Photoshop and FrontPage that we built, created, launched, and went live. Here's the first couple links right here. These are the next ones here. Next one's here. Every one of these is a funnel that we created, built, launched. My designers do Photoshop and I use FrontPage because I could use FrontPage. In fact, I use FrontPage all the way until ClickFunnels launched for my nerds out there. You know, what about Dreamweaver? Like, I couldn't figure out Dreamweaver. I used FrontPage and that's all I ever did, and then ClickFunnels. But these are them, 131 funnels that I could find. I think there's more. I'm gonna try to eventually get them all and put them all in chronological order, but that's how many funnels I created over a decade and a half before I created ClickFunnels. Can I share this with you guys for a reason? Because so many of you guys are looking at me and saying, oh my gosh, Russell created ClickFunnels. Now he's making hundreds of millions of dollars. This is so cool. It didn't happen overnight by any stretch of the imagination. Okay? It happened because I kept doing it and kept doing it. I had an idea after idea after idea after idea. Okay? Most of you guys don't have your big idea yet. You may think you do, but you don't. All these ideas, every single one of these things, I thought was my big idea. Like I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. Like every single one of these things took months to build the crate, write the copy, do the design, get the thing. Like it was like a labor of love every single time, and most of them didn't even work. Like, how did that one not work? It's like the greatest idea I ever had. Like potato guns, like seriously, it's gonna be huge, right? All sorts of stuff. Someday I wanna like, it'd be fun to do a whole presentation, show you guys like the iterations of like, oh, I had this idea, and this is why, and this one. And it would take days though, just to go through them all. But that's what I had to go through, right? And on this journey, as I'm doing this, like I don't really know where I'm going. All I know is I'm just going. I'm moving, momentum forward, right? I mean, I feel like that sometimes. Like, I don't really know where I'm going. I'm just moving forward right now, hoping that something good happens. Okay, that's good. I don't know what it is. Like, there's something about motion and movement and forward progress. It was you do that, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, starts rewarding you for things. So as I was moving forward, I'm like, this is the greatest idea where I start doing it. It's like, it kind of sucks. But all of a sudden, that door opened. I met that person. I found this thing. And I started moving. The next thing. And I tried this. And all these things in this journey started as I was moving forward. New ideas, new opportunities, new people came into my world that made it possible. Okay. Then I want to fast forward to probably 8 years, 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, 7 or 8, I don't know. I'm so bad at years. Some people are like, 1996. I can never remember. I was in Kenya. That's all I remember. So I was in Kenya and it was my wife and I and a whole bunch of marketing nerds. Most of them had wives too. This is back before there's too many female entrepreneurs. I don't think we had any female entrepreneurs on that trip. And the last time I went to Kenya, we had like half of them were female entrepreneurs, which is a huge testament to the females. I love it. It makes me happy every single time I see that. But back then, we're all hanging out. And I remember because we did this long ride inside of this little Jeep. And it was like my wife and I and then two or three other couples. And all the dudes were talking business and all the wives were like annoyed. So we got to like the stop where we had lunch, and then all the wives were like, do you guys mind if we go in this Jeep over here and you guys go in this Jeep? Because we don't want to hear you talk anymore. We're like, but it's like a 4-hour drive. Like, exactly. We do not want to go for 4 more hours with you guys. Like, oh, I guess. Like, all right. So we jump in the other Jeep. I'm sitting next to this guy named Bill Harrison. Anyone here know Bill? Couple? Yes. Okay. Bill is probably one of the smartest marketing dudes I've ever met. So for context, he's married now, but when I first met him, he was probably, I don't know, 50, never been married. I might have got that wrong, but was obsessed with marketing. And like his house, I saw pictures of you going to his house, imagine like a bachelor pad, but he's rich, so it's a big bachelor pad. And every room from the floor to the ceiling is marketing and sales books. They don't even bookshelves anymore because he can't handle it. So he's just, every single room is just piled with books. In fact, he used to send me boxes of books like his gifts. He's like, hey, Brunson, I just sent you a bunch of books. And I show up and there's a microwave box with like 500 books in it. And I'm like, are these good? He's like, oh, they're all good. I'm not going to send you crappy books. I'm like, this is amazing. So Bill is like one of the smartest dudes I've ever met when it comes to marketing and sales, like obsessed. Like, if you guys think I'm obsessed, he's like that to the next level. Like, he's awesome. Anyway, so we're sitting in this Jeep, geeking out about all sorts of stuff, having a bunch of fun. And we're like 2.5 hours into this like bumpy Jeep ride talking. And he tells me this story that just, it rocked everything. Like my whole world. And I'm probably, I don't know, 6 pages into this funnel building thing at the time. Like, I've done a million different things, launched a bunch of stuff, had some successes, had a lot of losses. But as a whole, we're doing really well. And we're sitting there in this Jeep and we're talking. And he says, man, it's so interesting. He's like, I feel like I'm one of the best marketers in the world. He's like, Russell, I feel like you are too. Like, we're like some of the best, like most passionate people who geek out about this the most. But he's like, do you know what the biggest problem is? I'm like, what? Because I would love to know, like, I'm doing well, but I'd love to do more. And he's like, we have the wrong opportunity. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, and he goes on. He says, I have this friend who he's not a good marketing dude at all. Like, he's maybe like a level 2 skill set of like of being a marketer. But he got into this opportunity with this big company, and he was able to apply his level 2 skill set into a level 10 opportunity. He's like, they just took their company public for over $1 billion. He cashed out and made insane amounts of money. He's like, because he had a level 10 opportunity. He's like, if I look at this, as I see in this Jeep, he's like, I feel like I've got a level 10 skill set. And my company, while it does really, really good, he's like, I feel like it's like a level 3 or maybe level 4 opportunity with level 10 skill set. So because I'm only able to get to a certain level. He said, the same thing's true for you, dude. He's like, you're at a level 10 skill set. You're looking at maybe level 2, maybe level 3 opportunity. That's why you're stuck at this thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. I was a little frustrated. I was like, well, crap, what's my level 10 opportunity? I don't even know what that is or what it could be. Like, I thought all the stuff I was doing was good. And like, if you look at I look at the world through my lens, I'm doing better than all the people around me, like my friends, my family, stuff like that. I'm making more money, but like, man, like what is actually possible? And I didn't know. And I remember coming home from that trip and just thinking, like, well, what's my love with an opportunity? I didn't know, but I didn't stop everything. Like, well, I'm just going to wait till it comes here. Okay? I was just like, okay, now I know that I'm looking for level 10 opportunity. And I want to make sure that that when I find it, that I'm ready and I'm prepared for it. Okay? If they would have handed me ClickFunnels eight years ago, I'm like, here, run this thing. Guess what would have happened? I would have crashed it to the ground and burnt it, and it would have been a really bad, painful public humiliation in front of everybody. Okay? I wasn't ready for it. Okay? But now I knew, like, I have my eyes, I'm going for level 10 opportunity, but until that happens, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to do the next one and the next one. I'm going to try this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. And hopefully in that journey, I'm going to have faith as I'm running as fast as I can. I'm looking for opportunities. I'm trying to find stuff and figure things out that the right people are going to come to my life. I'm going to be introduced to people. I'm going to find opportunities. And maybe this one's not the big success, but maybe that it opens the door for the next one or the next one. Maybe I meet somebody through the dealer. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm going to run with faith as fast as I can and just do funnel after funnel after funnel. But I'm going to have my eyes open looking for, like, what is that level 10 opportunity. Ken? Thank you. And so that's how it started. So from that point forward, I started looking. And as I started looking, these weird opportunities started coming into my path. And some of them weren't really pleasant. One of them was I built a huge company up and the whole thing burnt and crashed to the ground. And that was really painful. Firing 80 people overnight is not fun. I'm not going to get deep into the pain of that story, but it was bad. And I thought, like, man, this whole thing, like, I don't have a level zero opportunity now. I got nothing. But I kept moving forward. And as I was moving forward, I was trying thing after thing after thing. And I remember in this process of trying a bunch of stuff, I remember buying this website because I was like, this has got to be level 10 opportunity. I bought this site. It's called championsound.com. Anyone here ever heard of Champion Sound? No, because it never, one person, yeah. Because it's one of the ones on the list. It didn't do anything though. I bought it off Flippa.com. I tried to launch it. It didn't work. We had some people sign up, start buying it. The software crashed. It was like an email and text message autoresponder for bands. And I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be level 10 opportunity. Maybe they, you know, and I'm doing this thing. And in the pain of this thing not working, I was trying to find a developer to help me fix this software. And I'd go to what was back then, Upwork or Odesk, or I can't remember what. I was trying to find somebody to hire to fix the site, and I was trying thing after thing, and I couldn't find anybody to fix it. And finally, I was just frustrated. I'm like, all right, this isn't going to work. And so I sent an email to the host to basically shut down the site. It's not going to work. Like, I don't want to support the people because it doesn't work. I can't fix it. And then I was walking out the door to leave, and as I'm walking out the door, I had this, like, thought. And the thought, I just heard for a second. It said, there's probably someone on your list who could fix this for you. I'm like, my list isn't that big. It's not people that are developers. It was just like, but I'm like, all right, I've tried to listen when I hear voices like that. Like, all right, so I walk back in the office. I turn my computer back on. I send an email out and it says, if you know Ruby on Rails, I'm looking for a partner. And I kind of told him the story. I got the site. It's not working. It's broken. I'm going to throw it away. But if you know Ruby on Rails, I'm going to be a partner. Email me back. So I send it out there. And an hour later, I get an email from this dude in Atlanta who looks like he's younger than me, which is kind of funny. So he's got a beard. And I click on it and read this thing. He's like, I'm a Ruby Rails developer and I'd love to look at it. So I send the login, he logs in, I go to bed and I wake up in the morning. He's like, all the issues are fixed. Here you go. And that was Todd Dickerson who came into my world. And what's crazy, yes, hey, Todd. It's fascinating because Todd came into my world at the bottom of everything, like broke, like out of money, nothing left, and he came in, and he came in a weird spot. He's like, you know, I want to come work with you, and I'm like, I can't pay you. He's like, that's cool, I'll just work for free, and he worked for free for over a year, coming in because he was just like the same thing, like I'm looking for an opportunity, and so we're like a year into this relationship, friendship. Working on different projects, and we went to Traffic Conversion event together, and I can tell how, I remember how broke we were because we shared a room. This is probably 7 years ago now. So we're sharing a room, and that night, we're walking around hanging out, and I see Bill Harrison, and we bump into each other again. We start talking, and somehow in this conversation, the whole level 10 opportunity thing came up again, which was kind of random because it's just like a freak thing. We talked for like 15 minutes and we left, and it reminded me of this thing in Kenya that happened a couple years earlier. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. And so that night I told Todd, I was like, look, this is the deal. Like, I told him I did. I just told you guys about level 10 opportunity. And Todd's like, dude, well, what's our level 10 opportunity? I'm like, I don't know. do you know? He's like, no. I'm like, crap, we got to figure this thing out. And then we're like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what it is. It's this thing, and it's going to be called WP Undies. And we got the WordPress logo, and we got someone to design it with underwear, tidy whities on it, and we're freaking out excited. And Todd started coding this thing, and it's one of the things on this list down here. I'm not sure which page it is. But we're like, dude, this is the big idea. It's going to be this thing that you put on your WordPress site, like underwear, that helps protect it. And like a third of all the websites in the world are on WordPress. It's going to be it's going to be insanely big. And so we're so freaking out about our level 10 opportunity. We start working, we start building this thing, and we're doing it. And as we're building it, we find out that like it's WordPress sucks because you plug in a thing, and then it could be on like 8,000 different hosts, and like somebody shifts the hosting over here. And like after we got the thing out there, we're trying to support with like 5 customers. We're like, oh my gosh, this is the worst business we ever were in. Like, this is not our level 10 opportunity. We start freaking out, and we're not sure what to do. And Todd's flying back to Boise to plan, like, okay, what's the next thing we're going to do? And on the flight over, Todd lives in Atlanta. He's in the airport, I was still asleep here in Boise. And it was the same day, some of you guys haven't heard the story before, it was the same day that Lead Pages got $5 million in funding. And so Todd's jumping on the plane, reads this article, and then he forwards it to me. And he jumps in the air. He's in the air for 4 hours flying to Boise, and he's flying. He's just livid. Because Todd is like the most genius developer in the world, and he knows that Lead Pages sucks. And he's like, I can build this today. And so I wake up in the morning, and I read this article. I'm like, Lead Pages? Like, that software sucks. Like, we could build this today. He shows up at the office. He walks in, like, little Todd is all angry, like, oh. I'm like, what? He's like, Lead Pages got $5 million. Like, what are they doing that we're not doing? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, I can build Lead Pages today. Do you want to build it? I'm like, yes, we're going to build Lead Pages. We're going to take them out. We're like, all excited, right? Like, this is our level 10 opportunity. We'll get $5 million in funding too. It's going to be awesome. And so we're so excited. And then Todd asked this question. He's like, well, if we're getting set up from the ground up, do you want to make it better than Lead Pages? I'm like, heck yeah. He's like, what do you want? And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Let me show you. And I started showing him all of these. Like, I want to be able to do this by myself without you guys, because you guys are way too, I want to be able to do this. I can't do Photoshop and Front Page and all these people to do this. And that started this journey on ClickFunnels. So let me show you guys real quick. If you can pull my slides up. Level 10 opportunity. And this is kind of a side story. Before, somewhere in this journey here, actually before I even met Todd, it wasn't like ClickFunnels was a unique idea. I wasn't the first person to think like we should build software that makes it easy to build funnels. Like, I wasn't the first person. In fact, this was in 2005. This was the first time I tried to build it, and we called it click.com.com. That would have been confusing, huh? I would tell people that, like, so click.com? And I'm like, no, click.com.com. They're like, wait, what? I'm like, no, it's, anyway. But this is the first time, so I was like, if we could build this, it'll be huge. And so that was here in Boise. I ended up hiring 6 developers. I was selling all of this crap, and I was trying to take all the money to build this. And I'm like, I thought this was going to be huge. 2005, so this is like almost 10 years earlier, we tried this. And this is all different pages. If you look at it, it's kind of funny because I think we called it, it was before sales funnels. We called them sales processes and sales flows before we ever called them funnels. But we had built the whole software. We designed it. We tried to build it. And it's funny because I talk about how, like, if I would have got ClickFunnels 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do it. And it's what happened. Like, we tried it 10 years ago before I had Todd. I didn't have the right people. And it crashed and burned. Again, we spent probably 2 or 3 years trying to build this, ran out of money. During that whole crash, we gave up on it. And that's why when I did meet Todd and I asked him, like, can we build it? I was just like, part of me is like, I've tried it before. I know other people have tried it. I had a lot of other friends who sat down like and tried it as well. And it just didn't work, right? It was a good idea that just wasn't simple to do. But we met Todd and then Dylan and made it possible. So this is 131 funnels later. This is the night that we started on the ClickFunnels project. It's the only picture I have from that night. Like, I wish we would have done more. So this Todd here on the right-hand side. So he has no Todd. On the left-hand side is Dylan. And Dylan's no longer part of ClickFunnels, but he was one of the original co-founders with us. Dylan's the one who built the original editor. So if any of you guys like the editor, that's Dylan's brainchild. He had spent 6 or 7 years prior trying to build a website editor for himself. We started building ClickFunnels. We partnered together and plugged it all into one super system. But I wanted to share this story with you guys because as soon as we were aware of a level 10 opportunity, our eyes started looking for it, but we didn't stop. Okay, and I just want, hopefully it gives some, a lot of you guys out here, especially ones who've you've been doing this for a year or less than that, or a couple of years, who just haven't hit it yet, or you've had like marginal successes, like don't stop. Like the key is not waiting for the big opportunity. I'm waiting for my ClickFunnels. It's do your thing as fast as you can and keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And as you keep doing it, you'll get better and you'll get better and you'll get better. And eventually you'll get worthy enough that when the level 10 opportunity shows up, you'll be prepared for it. Okay, that's the key. Okay, so don't get upset like, oh, my funnel didn't work. Oh, this thing didn't work. Or like, it's going to be tough. There's going to be frustrations. Things aren't always going to work the very first time or the second time or the third time. But if you keep doing it, keep doing it. For me, it was 131 times, okay, before I hit my big thing. And I'm hoping for you guys, you get a lot faster than that. Okay, but even if you don't, it's worth it. Okay, I'm now, man, 16 years in this business. And, you know, it's funny because I get people all the time. They're like, you guys just came out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, 16, that's a long time I've been focusing on this. But it's something I've been obsessed with, and I just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And when you keep doing your thing, the opportunities appear, they show up. And if you've done that, done the work, you'll be prepared and ready for them. Okay?
Because the people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do.